Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. I want you to think with me today that God Himself is everywhere. A heathen philosopher would ask, "Where is your God?" And you know what the faithful response should be? Where isn't He? Because He's everywhere. You know, indeed, God is not to be found in the way of man. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, to even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." Certainly, God is omnipresent. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. And hopefully we come away with an understanding of really what omnipresent means, because many people are confused about that. The word omnipresent really comes from two words in Latin combined together, omni and present. Omni is a Latin word, omnis meaning all, and present is a Latin word meaning to attend or to be at hand. And so, hence the omnipresent means at hand in attendance or present in all places. The omnipresent God is, therefore, present in every place, everywhere at the same time. And so we need to think about this and make it clear in our minds what this really, really means. Jehovah said, I am a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? We think about the Apostle Paul in the Athens, when he comes to Athens and he's dealing with all of these Greeks that are so filled with a plethora of different gods. And he comes to them and he sees that altar of the unknown God. And in Acts there, he says so that he tells them he wants them to seek the Lord. He's going to talk to them so that they shall seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far off from each of us, Paul said, for in him we live and move and have our beings. And also some of our own poets, your own poets speaking to them, he says that they've said, for we are also the offspring. Solomon declared, but God will indeed dwell in the earth. Behold, he says, the heavens and the heavens of heavens, they can't contain him. That's how powerful and present God is. And he says, how much less would this little temple that I built hold God? And I'm paraphrasing. God said, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And where is the house that you will build me? Where is the place of my rest? Isaiah 66:1. And so think about that. O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth have made heaven and earth. The Bible speaks of Hezekiah. If you can remember Hezekiah, who prayed before the Lord in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 15. We want to listen to some of the many scriptures that speak of God's presence. As Hezekiah proclaimed that the God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, he says, you alone are God of all the kingdoms. And so let's look at some of these. When we talk about in the temple, in 1 Kings 8:11, that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. He was present with them so much that they couldn't do their service. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. In Psalm 26:8, we read, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. That's everywhere.
Everywhere.
The scripture talks about in Christ. God dwells even within Christ. We know that God and Christ are one. We talked about that early this morning. But look at what we read in John. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Paul writes, or rather Peter, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the church also, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what argument has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as I said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writes, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows in a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in spirit. And that's how God dwells in us and everywhere with us. And again, as individual Christians, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, the Scripture says, abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love and He who abides in love abides in God and God in Him. And so we think of this and realize that we really ask the question then again, how is God everywhere? And part of the reason is because He dwells within man. Part of the reason is because He is an overseer and dwells among everything and everyone and every place upon the earth. There's no place we can go where God cannot go. So how is God everywhere? We want to consider two words here. Omnipresence, which means that God is present everywhere. We looked at that. And there's another word, and I'm not even sure if this is a word, but it's something that I've researched in use. It's being used, but it's called omniperson. You see, there's a difference between omnipresent and omniperson. Omnipresent implies always present, and omniperson implies physical presence. And that's where people come a little bit shy of the truth, is when they start to believe that God is physically here. Physically here. And let's go and investigate this just a little bit. God is indeed found everywhere. Everywhere in His creations. In the heavens we look up and we admire, as we look into the heavens, the wonders and works of God, as we think about the depths of the sea. And He's seen through all the things of creation. His natural laws, they speak volume to us concerning God. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 that the heavens, that everything that is created declares God. It shows us His power and His Godhead so that we're without excuse. All we do is look at creation and you're going to see God everywhere. And all this is true. But it's not to be confused with omniperson. Not to be confused with omniperson. For the person of God, and you think about this for one split microsecond, you know the answer. The person of God is in heaven. See, we all know that. He's not bodily here with us, but He is here with us in spirit. Omnipresent does not imply, therefore, that God is everywhere with us physically, but rather His presence is everywhere in the way of creation, in the way of His laws, in the way of His influences in the world. The Bible doesn't teach omniperson of God. It teaches the omnipresence of God. To teach that somehow, when we think of this, that the omniperson or presence of God, that He is physically with us always, that's really something called pantheism. Now, God is, He's with us everywhere. He's influencing us through all the laws that He put in place, everything that He's created, all of His Word from the beginning of time until now. God is with us. But we're not pantheists. To teach pantheism is to teach that it's a belief that the universe and everything that is made is the totality of everything that is. And pantheism is identical with and that the universe and everything that is deity. And that everything that it composes and all-encompassing, the item, everything that exists is God. Pantheists do not believe in a distinct, personal, anthropomorphic God. They don't believe that God created man in his own image and that we can relate to God on that level. They believe basically that God is the universe and the universe is God. And so we don't hold to the ideas of pantheism, and that's what it means if we start teaching or believing in some fashion or another that when we need God, He will physically be present with us. The truth is that Jehovah God is both transcendent and immanent. In other words, He is separate from the beyond, from the material things, the universe, and He's with us spiritually, but He's not an omnipersonal, which means He's not with us physically. And so we need to make sure we understand that. The Lord saved Israel from the Egyptians, remember? Exodus chapter 14. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. But you know, He did it through the angel of His presence. I like that term because it helps us as men to understand. It was an angel's, the angel, the messenger that did the task, but it was by the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 63:9 says, in all their afflictions He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. Remember, God spoke to Moses in the burning bush. So when the Lord saw that Moses, He turned aside to look. God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. But He did it through an angel. It wasn't God in the bush. Exodus 3 and 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush. How about God going before Israel in the cloud day and night? Exodus, the Lord went before them in a day of pillar by and of cloud and led the way by night in a pillar of fire, but He did it through the medium of an angel. Exodus 14:19, the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before them and stood behind them. God wasn't physically with them. His spirit and His omnipotence and His power was with them through the agent of the angel. Jesus promised to be everywhere, wherever two or three or more are gathered in His name. And this is where so many people fall short. They believe that if two people come together, Jesus is right there with them, physically. That somehow He's manifested among them, even if you can't see Him. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are gathered in My name, He says, I'm in the midst of them. But who believes that Jesus is personally, bodily present when we pray? How many of us would go so far as to say that? We know better. The Scripture and the wisdom of the Word of God teaches us that that's not the case. Jesus promised to be with His disciples until the end of the world. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Lo, I will be with you always till the end of the age. But who would insist that Jesus is with us in person? You see, He's not. Because what we do know factually from the Scriptures is that the Lord Jesus, as our God and the Holy Spirit, are in heaven. They're in heaven. In Acts chapter 7, 56, we read, look, I see the heavens. This is Stephen speaking as they're ready to kill him because of his faith and his testimony. And he says, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Where is Jesus? Jesus is in heaven. In Ephesians chapter 1 and 20, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of not man, but he was seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. First Peter, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. Since Jesus is in heaven, he is always spiritually with us through the means of his word, by our Bible, our studies. He's with us at the Lord's table when we're there. He's with us when we sing the hymns and songs and spiritual songs. He's there. He's with us when we pray. He's there. And in all this, and much more, the influence that he has upon us by his word, of course, our conscience, his omnipresence, the power of God, our omniscience, the power of God to see and know everything, he's there. It is with us. And the following expresses the omnipresence of God, I think, very adequately. I found this in when I was studying, and I'm not necessarily liking poems a lot, but this says, he is there, he is here and there and everywhere. In all the ways I've trod, I've never passed beyond the sphere of the providence of God. He's just simply everywhere. But let's be mindful of some facts here. That even though God is everywhere, we may indeed leave the presence of God. And it almost seems oxymorical. It doesn't make sense. How can God be everywhere, but you can somehow leave the presence? Dave, we just read the scripture that, you know, if I go into a cave, if I go into the sea, if I follow the rays of the sun, no matter where I go, God is there. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, though the Lord's mercies are not consumed because he's compassion, it fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says, I'm on the wrong verse. No, I got it. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good for those who wait for him. We believe that he is always there. But we can leave his presence. And this is very powerful for every one of us to understand. Though the Lord God is omnipresent, there is a sense in which we can leave his presence. By leaving his presence, what we're really saying is that we're causing God to turn his face away from us. And he doesn't see us. The scripture in 2 Kings says, but the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion on them and regarded them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not yet destroy them or cast them from his presence. God's merciful. And he wasn't willing to destroy them utterly and cast them from his presence. But ultimately, when we think about this, the Assyrians conquered them. 2 Kings 17 and 18, we read that therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight, where there was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Israel disobeyed and disobeyed and disobeyed God, went to false gods, built false idols, worshipped these idols, worshipped the false gods, built high places. They did everything to drive God away. And they did it. And God was angry with Israel. And it says he removed them from his sight. When we think about God casting some out of his presence, and we question, how is that possible? Well, concerning Israel, it was because of their sin. God was being gracious to Judah. They weren't perfect. But they were taking Israel, they were taken captive, removed from the presence of God, separated from him. They lost God's protection, and they stood defenseless against their enemies. Being out of God's sight is not a place where we want to be. And we think about Judah later on, 2 Kings 24:20, because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, that he finally cast them out from his presence, and then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. The scripture says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and they have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. And that's what's happening. God is still there. God is still present. And if you would simply turn back to God, you would be in his presence again. But it's like a stubborn person that has their back against their husband or wife or against a child or against a friend or a neighbor. As far as they're concerned, he's not even there. Because they're not willing to turn and look. And when we're living in our sins, our iniquities, they hide God's face from us. We can leave the omnipresence of God, not because we're out of his presence, but because we have turned from him and caused him to turn his eyes away from us. And so all these examples, the one thing that's very consistent is their sin. That's what drives us from the presence of God. Turning their backs on God, disobeying God's laws. God allowed the Babylonians to take them captive because of their sin. It's because of their sin. Think about that. 2 Kings 24, surely at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah to remove them from his sight, the scripture says. Not from his presence, but from his sight because of their sins. And so, remember that. Having been rejected by God, Cain, the scripture tells us, he went out and separated himself from God, from God's protection. And so, his word, God's word, declares that he will punish the disobedient in the day of judgment. He says to anyone who does not obey him, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 9. And so think about that. God is omnipresent, but we certainly can walk away ourselves. Thayer defines the word as presence as meaning the face. The word that's used in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 17, where it tells us how those Pharisees, they disfigured their faces and they wanted to pray and be seen and they fasted and they made a mess of themselves so that people would look at their face. And Jesus told them, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. And that's that word that's being used there, and it actually denotes the presence of a person. And that's the word that's used in Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, that we would be taken away from the presence, the face of God. So we're exiled from God's presence, his face, not separated from him spiritually until that day of judgment. We're rejected because he has turned his face from us. And although the wicked will be exclusively excluded from the face of the Lord, yet they will still be in the presence of the Lord. They will, in hell, for eternity, come to that vast and terrible realization that God is, and I've denied him, and for eternity now I'm going to be separated from him. He no longer looks upon me. That's real suffering, to be excluded from God's divine justice. Listen, referring to 2 Thessalonians 1:9, Mayer wrote in his commentary, to see the face of the Lord is a well-known biblical expression to denote blessedness, whereas distance from it is an expression of misery. Don't be in a place where you've caused God's face to turn away. Here's some lessons learned. Comfort. That's something we get from being in the presence of God. The saints are comforted and encouraged and consoled that God is with them to help and comfort them. We echo the psalmist's words when he says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The writer of Hebrews says, and to be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever, wherever we go, God is with us, especially as faithful members of the body of Christ. We know that God is near us, that He goes with us and He goes before us. He never sleeps. He's not too busy. He doesn't go on a journey or take a vacation and time off. God is always with us and will always bless us and comfort us and help us. Being in communion with God is an assurance also. Communion with God, the nearest of God, the nearness of God rather, is that communion that we have with Him to be enjoyed in every aspect of our lives. Through the Word, through our relationship spiritually with God, even far from consecrated places. You don't have to, you know, when I was very young, and I first got myself into a church, I wanted a key to that building, and I got a key, and I would go in there night after night after night, and I would run down the aisle here, fall prostrate on my face, and lay here and pray for hours in that building. That was in Barberton. And I felt like being in that place, that consecrated place, I just was moved and felt like God was with me all the more. Listen, He's with you in your bedroom, in your closet, in the hills, at your workplace, in your car. God's people can pray to Him and He hears. They can study and it pleases Him. They can sing to Him and it pleases Him. We can do this, and by no means are we lacking the enjoyment of the presence of God because of some special location. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "Believe me, this hour when that will come will neither worship Him on the mountain or in Jerusalem." That's, we won't be worshiping the Father there. He says God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And His spirit is everywhere. It's omnipresent. No matter where you go, you will not be able to escape God. And when you need God, He will always, always be there. From any place on earth, children of God may worship Him. Paul and Silas, they worshiped Him in prison. Disciples worshiped Him in the temple grounds at Jerusalem. And the early saints worshiped in the home of Aquila and Priscilla. By the way, that does not exclude the assembling of the church. So, if you know somebody named Aquila and Priscilla, don't use that as an excuse not to assemble. But you can't escape the presence of God. You just can't do it. Man can't escape it in any way, shape, or form. Listen, Jonah tried, didn't he? Didn't Jonah try to escape God and His direction, and he found himself in the belly of a big fish, and he attempted to flee from God because he didn't want to go to Tarshish? He ended up going, didn't he? Even in the belly of that whale, God heard him. Even in the belly, or the fish rather, God heard him. Even in the belly of that great fish, God knew where he was. You can't escape God. Adam and Eve, when sin came through them into the world and they were naked and they knew it and they hid themselves from God, God knew where they were. I know God said, "Where are you, Adam? Who told you you were naked?" But God knew. He knew. They, out of guilt, tried to hide themselves from the Lord, but you can't hide yourself from God. We can never way, in any way, get away from God. Listen, indeed, the darkness shall not hide us from Him. The night shines like the day. The darkness is like light. They're both alike to God. So you can't turn the lights off and hide. But you know what's really strange about all this? And really, seriously, this will bring this lesson to a conclusion. What's strange is that there are so many people in this world that we live in today who would not think twice. They know that cursing and cussing is sinful. They know that fornication is sinful. They know that adultery is sinful, that drinking alcohol is sinful. And they would never do that in the presence of another person. If they were members of the church, certainly they would make sure that Dave didn't know or Andy didn't know or that any of us would know. They do that in private.
You
don't do sins that you know are sins in the presence of people,
let alone
God, and yet they do all these things.
Anything that we do that is sinful is done in the very presence of God.
And they don't think twice about that.
And that's sad.
It is vitally important, therefore, that every one of us develops a sense of the presence, the omnipresence of God in our lives. The presence of the Lord and knowing He's with us always can actually help us. And it helps the spirit battle against the flesh to know that He's there.
That He's there. God indeed is omnipresent.
You know, the first song that was sang tonight is Anywhere with Jesus. I appreciate that so much. Anywhere with Jesus. You couldn't have selected, I don't think, a better song for the thought on our lesson.
That anywhere, we don't have to fear because He's there. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. I hope you are with Jesus tonight. I hope that you've been baptized in the waters for the forgiveness of your sin and that you've gotten and walked in a new life and that you're living that Christian life as you should. And I also hope that if you've erred from the straight and narrow gate that you turn immediately and come back because, again, God knows. He knows. If we know, if our heart condemns us, greater is He, right, that is in us. And so if you've not obeyed the gospel, I would encourage you to hear that message and come forward and give yourself over to Christ. Admit that you're a sinner. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized as He commanded for the remission of sins and to be added to the church. And if you need anything else, the church is here to help you in any way as we stand and as we sing song number 207. 3.